Good morning. Today is Thursday, January the 21st. Joining us this fine Thursday morning. Okay, it's getting cloudy outside. Fred Van Fleck, good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning. Seems like deja vu all over again. Still dealing with COVID. Same thing we were talking about last time we talked.
What a shocker. Yeah, but you got a board meeting coming up that was to make that determination about other things. So we'll talk about that and funding and a couple of other things also. But before we do, we've got our new book here called Ever Wonder Why? So, and the hit ratio on this is significantly higher than the other ones. So pressure's on for performance here.
Well, I think I got correct on why do they say that?
Well, that was yesterday. All right, this one's kind of an egg related one. Are you ready? Ever wonder why someone who bears the blame for mistakes of others is called a scapegoat?
One would think that it has something that, you know, goats are notorious for getting out of fences. You have to have really good fences if you have goats. So what I'm thinking is it has something to do with the goat that got out.
I think you almost got it. Let's see. The origin of this expression is found in the Bible. In Leviticus chapter 16, the ritual to be performed on the annual Day of Atonement is described as follows. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions, even all their sins. And he shall put them upon the head of the goat and shall send him away by the hand of an appointed man into the desert. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities, and he shall let the goat escape into the wilderness. The goat, bearing on its head all the sins of the children of Israel, came to be referred to as the escaping goat. And later just as the scapegoat. This led to the term being applied to a person made to bear the blame for others.
I think I got a D minus. D as in dog minus.
You got the escaping part. Actually, this is more of a pushing goat. Oh boy.
Yeah, I'm not gonna claim that one.
Okay. Last in December before Christmas, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, we talked a little bit about the fact that Eureka City Schools was looking to reconvene next week. Okay.
Correct.
And certainly now with the new administration, there's a huge push to get kids back in school all of a sudden. Period, end of story. What is the flavor of the school board at this point?
Well, the school board actually met that first week in January and provided direction on how we're carrying forward as a district with our in-person instruction. And so the first part of their direction that they provided was to bring back our self-contained classrooms for students with disabilities. So we do have our special education students back in person on our campuses. We also have intervention classes in person on our campuses.
What is an intervention class, Fred?
An intervention class are classes for students who are struggling or falling behind that need some extra instruction.
Okay, some of the okay. Okay.
Yep. So those are happening. We also have what's called our equipment dependent classes. And so those are like shop classes, classes that need specific equipment that usually is not readily available at home. They're also able to come in for in-person instruction. And then we've allowed our sports and student clubs to come back in person and meet socially distanced in person. So all that's happening. Then the board provided direction to me to bring back our students as soon as the second dose of the vaccine has been made available to all of our staff and it's reached its full efficacy with the staff. And so I've really focused my attention now on let's get this vaccination out here and let's get our teachers vaccinated. And that's been, I can go on for a while, and I'm assuming you want to talk about that. That's been incredibly frustrating for me.
Yeah, and, didn't the governor say nobody can do that, hold it off last week?
Well, here's what the governor did. The governor said 1 million doses. He got slightly less than I did on My little test at the beginning of the program here, I gave myself a D-. He got 500,000 out of a million out. And so that's 50%. That's not shooting very well. And here's where the disparity is that really bothers me, is if you look around at our neighboring counties, Mendocino County, Tehama County, Butte County, Marin County, and those are just the ones that I know of right off the top of my head, they have already administered the first round of the vaccine to the teachers and to the educational staff. And I want to give a little disclaimer here. When I say the teachers, it's not just teachers. It's all of our staff that are in direct contact with students.
Maybe campus personnel might be a way to think of it.
Yep. Okay. So they've already administered that first round. And up here, we're still 10,000 doses away from that in this county because for whatever reason, whether it's organization in the county, whether it's we're not getting the vaccines, whether it's Moderna having a whole lot recalled because of the little mishap of adverse reactions down south, there's a whole combination of things. But the problem is, who's losing on this is our students and our businesses up here. We have got to get reopened. We've got to get these vaccines out here. We really shift our focus and our efforts away from what color of a county are we in as far as bringing back students to getting the vaccine to our staff in schools, and then parents can make the choice whether they want to send their students back to school or not.
Now, how can that shift be? I mean, the governor was pretty clear with his edict saying thou shalt or thou shalt not, period. Why the change?
His thou shalt is just a proposal. And so it's got to make its way all the way through the legislation before any of that's going to come to fruition. And so he tried to put out there the carrot to get schools to come back on February 1st. So under his plan, schools have to have submitted to county public health and to the state a plan for reopening. And then by February 15th, they have to have their kindergarten through second grade back into in-person with a phased-in plan all the way up through fifth or sixth grade.
And we'll take it from there when we come back. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with the mild and meek Fred Van Fleck, Eureka City Schools Superintendent. So, Fred, before the break there, I was trying to get you to say a little something about where we were in trying to get kids back into the classroom. With the CTA being such, the number one union as far as size and influence in the state of California, I would think that there would be a huge push on the governor, on all the electeds, to either allow local school boards to open the doors or to get the state to get the heck out of the way and allow local school boards to open the doors and get things going. Is that not the case right now?
I can describe it in one word, cluster. It's an absolute cluster.
Actually, that's a hyphenated phrase, isn't it?
Do you have the bleep power?
No, I just have never. I've seen the hyphen. I've never seen the second word. So we'll just kind of go and say as you were.
Cluster Fred.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's about the same that I've heard.
So anyways, it's an absolute cluster because right now, there's such a lack of direction on what's going on. And you've got California Public Health saying one thing. You've got the governor putting out a proposal saying another thing. You've got our state legislators in the Senate and the Assembly saying another thing. And there has been absolutely no clear direction that's been handed down from the state. Right now, as it stands, if your school is not open and you are in a purple county, you cannot open. unless you've already been open. And so, for instance, our neighbors to the south here, Fortuna, Ferndale, they can keep doing what they're doing. We opened our schools in grades TK through 6, along with our preschool, and so those campuses can be open. However, based on the guidance that came down from California Public Health on Friday, the high school cannot open while we're a purple county.
So what about the junior highs?
Regardless. Well, the junior highs can, because we opened our sixth grade. And since the sixth grade was open, that means the rest of the buildings could phase in.
That opens
so
the campus.
Yeah, so the direction that's been given to me by the board is, as soon as the vaccine's been made available, that second shot to our teachers, we can open. And so where I've really shifted my efforts and started focusing my time on is, let's get this vaccine out there. Let's get the vaccine to our teachers so we can get our schools back opened up, get our children back in person, in the classroom. It's been a year coming up in March that our students have been out of in-person instruction, and that is just a tragedy as far as the instruction that's happening for our students. We've been knocking it out of the park as far as distance learning going, but the best distance learning program is never going to be a substitute for the in-person learning program that we have. That's where our schools are designed to teach students. That's where our students need to be, and we definitely need to be moving in that direction. But just this disorganization that's been going on around the vaccines, and you think about our neighbors to the south of us, Mendocino County, over in Butte County, Chico Unified, over in Tehama, down in Marin County, the school districts down there, all of those counties that I just mentioned have already administered the first round of vaccinations to teachers and staff that are in, to get them back to in-person learning. What I don't understand is, why is that not happening here? It just makes no sense to me. And there's a disparity as far as how the vaccinations are being distributed to counties. We had this incident with the Moderna vaccination where it basically got shelved because of the adverse reactions that were happening down in Southern California at one specific site, but with no replacements coming in behind them. My understanding of what's coming into Humboldt County right now is about 2,000 doses per week. We have 10,000 people who are in that 75 and over category that need to be vaccinated that are in line ahead of our teaching staff. And then it goes to school staff after those 10,000 are administered, and there's about 7,000, including higher education and preschools here in Humboldt County, teaching staff that need to be vaccinated. And so you do the math on 17,000 to 2,000 doses a week. That's 8 weeks out before you get everyone administered their first dose. That's not even the second dose. And it's just incredibly frustrating to me how long this process is taking. President Biden has come out with his new plan. He's already starting to roll it out as far as 100 million doses and getting them out. And there's starting to be conversations about it being widely available in pharmacies and other places across all the states. But until I see it happen, I'm skeptical, because it's just been absolute snail's pace and lack of organization getting the vaccine out to our local areas to get them in the arms of people.
Sounds to me like you're apoplectic.
That would be a good descriptor, but thankfully you gave me the definition of apoplectic during the break, so I can affirmatively confirm that I am, yes.
Oh.
Providing that your definition was correct.
Yes. Now, you had said, Fred, earlier in that at the high school level, you've got the equivalent of the HROP or whatever we're going to call it. Those that need some specialized gear, they're able to be in person. That you've got the special ed kids that are there. You've got those that are trying to catch up to their grade level that are there. So what is the number of kids that aren't able to be at the high school right now? A couple hundred?
Oh, the number that aren't able to be at the high school?
Yeah, what's the missing number?
So even if you look at the interventions and the equipment-dependent classes, those students aren't going to those classes every day. So let's say you're in a welding class. What's happening in a welding class right now is that the welding teacher is scheduling times outside of the day because students still have to do their regular six-period day.
Okay, hang on. We're gonna have to have a cliffhanger on this one. It's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times, are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Eureka City Schools Superintendent Fred Van Fleck. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Baywood Golf and Country Club, and Murphy's Markets. Fred, in considering some of the different challenges that are out there, the fact that you are missing a good chunk of the student body, or they're not there on campus on a regular, let's just call it a regular basis, maybe a weekly basis, but not on a regular basis. Are there any studies, any references to see how long does it take to catch up in that kind of a scenario, whether it's culturally, socially, or academically?
Well, nobody really knows. The best thing that we can do right now is we've been comparing our grades from this year compared to what we look like at our grades across the district last year at this time. And there certainly is a slip in the number of students as far as how well they're performing. Attendance in our district actually hasn't slipped much at all. We're actually up a little bit in attendance, and so that's a good thing. That's a good sign that our teachers are doing a good job of engaging students. And so I'm happy to report that, but that is not the norm around the state. The norm around the state is actually that the attendance is down. And so that's a good piece, is that we're able to work on getting our attendance up. But the loss of learning is certainly heavy. And what is actually most concerning about that is the disparity between the loss of learning. And what I mean by that is the difference between kids. Some kids have an environment at home where they can actually work on something and continue their achievement and get their way through the distance learning with minimal impacts on their progression of learning. Some students are just simply not able to do that because the environment at home is just not set up for that. And here's one of the interesting things that I think a lot of folks don't think about. You naturally go to, oh, well, it must be the students who have a rough home life that aren't performing well. Well, it's not just those students. It's actually some of our more affluent students who have two working parents, because the issue is, and this is true for my family, the issue is two working parents are not at home to help their children with the distance learning, whereas some of the families that don't have two working parents, there's a parent there to help shepherd and guide their students through the distance learning, and so the impact on them is not as great.
The mentoring function, so to speak.
Yep.
Yeah.
So if you have a student that's in a two working parent family, or a single parent where that single parent works, and it's not a overly self-motivated student. So in other words, if they were in in-person learning and the teacher was on them, they would do just fine because they would have the teacher there providing that external motivation. At home, even though they may be an affluent family, they don't have someone there to provide that external motivation. They're not getting out of bed and not logging on. Or what's happening with a lot of our students is they're just staying in bed and logging on while they're in bed. It's the craziest thing. And it's just not healthy for many of our students to do the distance learning.
Now, there's a difference between school and classroom, obviously, and gathering. Has there been any thought to, not in a classroom setting, not formally, but to have the ability if... to do some kind of gathering in the small groups with all the safety precautions that are in place so that the kids come back to the campus itself, and they may be out somewhere away from the classroom, but they are still physically there and kind of get that ball rolling?
So we've actually been doing that, and what we call those are learning hubs. And so some of our students we've provided hotspots to hundreds and hundreds of our students who do not have connectivity. We've provided Chromebooks, or basically laptop computers, to thousands of our students. As a matter of fact, we will be a one-to-one district for all 4,000 of our students when they return back to on-campus instruction. And even with that, some of the students are struggling with some of the connectivity because of multiple people trying to access a hotspot, and so we start having bandwidth issues. And so what we've offered to mediate that is learning hubs on some of our campuses where students actually come in small groups, and they're able to access our bandwidth on our sites and do some of that distance learning in a more controlled environment on our sites.
Kind of like, could you use like the auditorium or the cafeteria? Is that kind of the gathering, or you're able to get in the classroom, but only a restricted number of individuals?
Exactly. That's what we're doing. We're doing it in classrooms, restricted number of individuals, because it's actually easier to guide the social distancing and making sure the masking is happening and all those pieces. One of the things that was actually helpful of what came out of California Department of Public Health in their Friday reopening of schools plan is that they reduced the social distancing for schools to 4 feet. What it said before was 6 feet or as practicable. That's the new word that came out with COVID, practicable. But anyways, they reduced that down to 4 feet. And so that is the guidance that that we're now being guided by, is 4 feet of social distancing. So that provides a little bit more flexibility as far as what we can do in bringing students back in the classroom.
Boy, if it's 4 feet, now all the grocery stores are going to have to pull up those stickers off the floor and readjust them.
Well, this was the guidance for schools. I'm not so sure that some of the other guidances have changed too much. And
double standards, you know, out of Sacramento? Who'd have thunk it?
Well, if you're like everybody else, what stickers on the floor?
Yeah.
I thought those were just decoration.
That's a new painting. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck. Fred, one of the concepts, and we've talked about it over the years, lifelong learner, that's kind of the goal. You know, you get the fundamentals in play, and you just light that light so that people enjoy learning and are always wanting to know more about stuff. Just stay engaged. Is that being dampened with this process, or is it changing the focus that the instructors need to do to instill that into the students so that, you know, maybe they're in a classroom, maybe they've graduated, maybe they're outside and instead of plopping in front of the tube, maybe they're doing a little bit of research on something or going out and digging things up and finding out things. I mean, is that the potential silver lining in this situation?
Well, I'll tell you, from my perspective, you kind of hit the nail on the head of what my greatest fear is. And my greatest fear is that we're going to end up with a generation defined by COVID. And what is the impact going to be on them as far as their learning style and how they learn and where they learn? How many parents are going to decide that the distance learning is great? We want to continue on distance learning, because there's several parents out there that have already said that. And so what are the long-term impacts of this going to be, including lifelong learner, and how about the soft skills that go along with getting a job? Because, you know, thinking about some of the things that you need as far as soft skills, show up to work on time. That's not being emphasized by learning from your bedroom at home where you roll out of bed and jump online and get on the computer. And so there's going to be a lot of impacts and effects with this. The silver lining on this, I'm looking for it. I'm struggling to find it. I guess one of the pieces that you could say is a silver lining is it's giving our teachers a glimpse inside what our children's homes look like. And I think it'll make them more sympathetic to what our children are dealing with in their home. Remember, Eureka, Our poverty level is 70%. So 70 out of every 100 students enrolled in our schools live below the poverty line. And you see that when we're doing the distance learning. One of the things that I do, I'm out to our campuses. I'm visiting classrooms virtually. And so I jump into these classrooms and you see it. Some of the struggles that our families and children are dealing with are just incredible. You know, the virtual world just makes that kind of like a home visit used to be, just that glimpse into what's going on in homes.
Well, and maybe that's a springboard into doing something, you know, to whatever it is, I don't know, but maybe that's that information, you know, because if you didn't have the information before, it's really tough to act on it. Now that you got it,
right?
You know, maybe there's something that'll get stirred up associated with that. I think it's that unintended consequence. And you talked about showing up on time. Well, looking around at the real estate market in the commercial settings, I think that there's going to be a lot of folks that don't have to show up on time anywhere. You know, here's your piecemeal work to get done today. Get it done, whether it's nighttime, morning time, daytime, whatever time. You get it done within these parameters,
yep,
and you'll get your next batch tomorrow. Thank you very much. And the business community is resetting also.
Yeah. And what about all these big convention centers? Do you think we're going to go back to this idea of we're going to have the state convention of the XYZ organization at the Sacramento Convention Center or the Anaheim Convention Center or wherever it is, when now you can just log on conveniently from wherever it is you want to log on from and get the same information? You miss the social networking.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think the workshops might be there or might be archived that way or presented that way, but I bet you that the conventions still occur, but they will also morph into something different because you're right. It's at the bar. It's on the exhibit hall floor. That's where a lot of the knowledge really gets transferred. So we'll see.
Right.
Enjoy your day, however you spend it, wherever you are, and whatever you're dressed like today.
In a suit, in my office, doing the thing I do.
Ah, talking to us. Way to go, buddy. Thanks, Fred.
Yep.
See everybody tomorrow.